Hey there, pleasure seekers. It's your girl Tasha, aka the seducer, aka the pleasure dom, the one, the only queen behind her pleasure chest. Let's get into this episode that will guarantee to aspire you, inspire you, make you wet, make you horny, make you curious. Let's get into it. Hey there, pleasure seekers. Thank you for joining me for another week, another episode. This week, again, will be different because with the state of the country and being a proud Black woman, there's no way I can pretend as if I'm all right. Because I'm not, you know, I'm not okay. So last week I dedicated it to being Black. I received good feedback from it, and I appreciate everyone that listened to that and understand why I did it. This week's episode might be a little triggering for the Black woman that listens, the Black woman that enjoys the show. I am warning you now, this episode might be a little triggering for you. And anyone that has a heart, it might be a little triggering, but I needed to do this episode because this particular one around Black women and sexual violence, because it's not really talked about a lot, and the history of Black women being dehumanized sexually is deeply rooted in slavery. It is, you know, from the beginning of time, when this construct of race was created, Black women were seen as promiscuous, as vulgar, because when the colonizers stepped foot on the motherland, they saw Black women in, you know, their tribal gear. You know, of course, it's Africa. They were hot. They are not wearing long dresses to their ankles, like, you know, what the colonizers are used to seeing in their country. So they went over to the motherland, Africa, and they see this, and automatically their mind, you know, everything is mindset, right? And their mind shifted to, assuming that because of what they're wearing, they are vulgar, they're promiscuous, they are very sexual. So we, in that moment, from that moment, devalued, you know. And I read one article, so it was tough for me to find the proper resource to give you guys, to give you all factual information, because everything I found and I read, it was tough for me. The language, the history, the just to see, just to read how much a Black woman's body was hated, and the white woman's body was thought of as pure, you know, an ideal. I remember one snippet of an article stated, slaves were property. Therefore, rape, it was not illegal, you know? So this week, I am going to read. Hopefully, I can get through it. If I can't, I will leave the rest for next week. But I'm going to try my best to get through it. But I'm going to read an article from the National Organization of Women, and it is on Black women and sexual violence. So this episode will be purely dedicated to that. And again, it may be triggering for some, but it's very important that we have this conversation so we see why, or not even mostly why, but even just bring an understanding as to how society is now, and the disproportionality of just sexual violence against Black women, how it is handled with our justice system. So this is important to me as someone that, again, a Black woman, and also have experienced sexual assault. So we're in a time where, and I know I might sound like I'm rambling, and please forgive me, but we're in a moment where we have to have these uncomfortable conversations, because if we don't, we will never learn. If we don't, we will continue to pretend as if we live in this perfect world. And it's not perfect, because we hide from these uncomfortable conversations. So I've given you fair warning that this may be triggering, this episode, but it will be very, very informative. So take a deep breath. I'm going to play the ad. Let the ad play right now, and then I'm going to jump into the information. All right, let's dive in. Again, this article is found on the National Organization of Women, nonow.org. Okay? Black women and sexual violence. The statistics of U.S. women and violence are staggering. On average, one in three women are victims of intimate partner violence, and one in five women are victims of sexual assault. These numbers underscore the epidemic of sexual violence in the U.S., which disproportionately impact women of color, immigrant women, LGBTQIA women, plus women, and disabled women. For African-American women, sexual violence and sexual assault and violence are incredible pervasive issues that routinely go unreported and underaddressed. Over 18% of African-American women will be sexually assaulted in her lifetime. And unfortunately, this percentage only accounts for the number of women who report their abuse. In order to address the issues of sexual violence against Black women, it is imperative that we look at the unique barriers faced by African-American women on a political, economic, and cultural level. Now let's talk about the social stigmas and sexual violence. When addressing sexual violence faced by Black women, it is important to understand the unfair stereotypes and destructive misrepresentations of Black women that permeates crimes against women of color, perpetuates crimes against women of color. Hypersexualized depictions of women of color, particularly Black women, have functioned since the early 1400s and have manifested themselves through our political and cultural landscape for centuries. The myth that Black women were vessels for sexual desires were used to justify enslavement, rape, forced reproduction, and other forms of sexual coercion in the early onset of Western colonization. The function of this process was crafted to further dehumanize women of color, making it, quote, and I quote, culturally acceptable, end quote, for European imperialists to abuse Black women and other women of color, such as American Indian women. The same rhetoric continued after the abolishment, of American slavery through a system of cultural imperialism such as Jim Crow, and continued to uplift the myth that Black women and women of color This same rhetoric continued after the abolishment of American slavery through a system of culturally imperialist such as Jim Crow that continued to uplift the myth that Black women and women of color overall were sexual objects and not fully fleshed human beings. Throughout the 20th century, hordes of Black women were sexually abused and assaulted by men of all races, with perpetrators of these crimes going largely unpunished. One of these stories recently unearthed through the work of Black historians and brought to light by prominent Black activists and writers is that of Recy Taylor. In 1944, Recy Taylor was abducted by six white men while walking home from church and raped at gunpoint. Taylor's case was tried by an all-white, all-male jury and dismissed within 5 minutes of deliberations, despite physical evidence and multiple witnesses of her abduction. The story of Taylor is just one of thousands. Her story, however, identifies a trend that we continue to see today. Sexual violence against Black women is often dismissed or ignored. For African-American women, sexual assault and violence often functions under the space of discrimination and abuse based on both sex and gender. Patriarchy is not simply about gender. It is also it also reaffirms racial structures as well, therefore disadvantaging women of color and on multiple levels. In 2016, researcher Akia Bernard amply defined the different ways race and sexuality intertwine when discussing sexual violence and sexual liberation. Here's a quote. "We live in a culture where, to an extent, white women, especially white middle-class women, are able to define, play with, that's a quote, quote-unquote, play with, and explore their sexuality in ways women of color are not. Example, the slut walk movement. And black women are defined by their sexuality as their sexuality. The result of this unfortunate stereotype of black women has hypersexualized beings, has had disastrous consequences for their safety. For example, statistics show that black women who report crimes of sexual assault or violence are less likely to be believed than their white counterparts. A recent study found that men found guilty of raping black women received shorter sentences than men guilty of raping white women. Now, isn't that some shit? And you see this in every level in our criminal justice system, right? So, let me read that again. Raping, in a recent study, men found guilty for raping black women receive shorter sentence than a man found guilty of raping a white woman. Wow. All right. Black women and reporting crimes of sexual violence. Sexual violence perpetrated against black women is often ignored and dismissed due to untrue biases regarding their sexuality. However, this myth and other very real issues have influenced the number of black women who report sexual assault. For every 15 black women who are raped, only one reports her assault. In recent years, there has been an outcry of many historical black colleges and universities on the systems of silence that has existed around rape for many of their female students. For women of color, reporting crimes of sexual assault are rooted in relationships to institutions of power and commitments to community. Similar to other communities of color, such as Latinx and American Indian women, African American women are less likely to seek help out to seek out help from law officials and law enforcement. The relationship between the African American community and law enforcement is fraught with abuse, mistrust, and neglect. Women of color do not live in a silo solely defined by gender. Therefore, issues of mass incarceration, police brutality, unfair drug policies, and over-policing of minority neighborhoods often, affects them in the same way they affect men of color. Law enforcement and legal system are not seen as viable avenues of recourse as these systems continue to oppress and discriminate against people of color. What this creates, however, is a severe lack of distrust in the legal system to protect Black women. When addressing issues of community, Black women are often placed in an unfair position, being forced to reinforce notions of solidarity within their own racial group. Even when their perpetrators are also men of color. A national study found that 91% of Black women are sexually assaulted by Black men, and 75% of those attacks are men they know, family members, friends, trusted advisors, or neighbors. In these instances, Black women are faced with impossible tasks, asked to, quote, betray a member of their own community to report their assaults. Although this betrayal is imagined, the idea of collective and solidarity is one that has been reinforced to Black women for decades. Now, to go to the mistrust with the criminal justice system. If you think about a few years ago when it made mainstream news about the number of Black women being abducted in a few states, you know, it was a ridiculous amount in like the DC area, Florida, the amount of Black women being abducted, and there was no urgency with law enforcement to search for these women, to investigate what's happening. And you've seen it over the years where when a Black girl goes missing, there's no immediate rush to search for her. There is this just like nonchalant attitude about us, Black women, you know, she probably run away, or she might be with a boyfriend, or she might, and this is from law enforcement, right? But when a white girl is abducted, oh my God, sound the alarm, the cavalry's out. And this is something we've seen time and time and time again. Now let's not even get into, the level of force and aggression that the Black community face from law enforcement. Then when you even look at it and add our beautiful trans woman in the community, our beautiful Black trans woman who are being murdered and raped, the physical assault, and that is not being reported. That is not taken seriously. So overall, once you are Black, once you're a Black individual, you are seen as not important. You know, there comes a long list of questions. If a Black woman is raped, right? The questions are, what was she wearing? Why was she there? Maybe she flirted. Maybe she led him on. Those questions are asked. But when a white woman is raped, there's a huge investigation. You know, it, and I'm not even touching on if the person is filthy rich. Now that's gonna be a whole other conversation. Okay. The other part of the article touches on the invisible Black woman and the sexual abuse to prison pipeline. And also there's another section on Black women sexual assault and resources. So we only have a little bit left. We're going to get through this because I really don't want to make this a two-part episode. Okay. One of the most prevailing issues with sexual assaults in the African-American community are, one, the high frequency of sexual assault to young women of color, two, the absence of adequate resources to deal with sexual assault of women of color. In 2012, Rights for Girls, a social justice reform organization, released a report entitled The Sexual Assault to Prison Pipeline, The Girl's Story. Within this report, researchers found an intrinsic link between the incarceration of young women of color and sexual assault. For example, in a study done on the Oregon justice system, 76% of the young women were survivors of sexual abuse by the age of 13. This same trend held in South Carolina, with over 81% of girls reporting a history of sexual violence. Numerous studies have found that there's a lack of resources available for young girls in the juvenile justice system that address the physical and psychological scars of sexual assault. This is further exacerbated when acknowledging the unique cultural nuances of girls of color. What's more, Rights for Girls study found that many of the young women who are in juvenile detention facilities are there because of behaviors or actions stemming from the untreated emotional ramifications of their abuse. This means their prior abuse-related trauma is underaddressed and worse still leaves them vulnerable to further abuse. This system is referred to as the sex abuse to prison pipeline. The sex abuse to prison pipeline has a disproportionate effect on young girls of color from beginning to end. For example, the Department of Education reports that Black girls are 6 times as often as white girls to receive disciplinary actions. Disciplinary policies are subjectively doled out, with Black and brown girls receiving harsher punishments for the same crimes. Moreover, counseling services and coordinators are a rarity in most schools, meaning that girls who are survivors of trauma are pushed out of school without insight into the reasons for their behavior. Victims of sexual abuse are often left with unresolved trauma, leading them to quote unquote act out at school. And this can be disastrous for girls when combined with zero tolerance policies. Girls may be suspended, expelled, or even arrested at school. All paths to involvement with the justice system. The fundamental failures of this system for young girls of color has played itself out in the media in recent years. In 2017, a campaign was established to help 14-year-old Brisha Meadows, initially charged with aggravated murder. Meadows was sentenced to involuntary manslaughter after she fatally shot her father, who had been verbally and physically abusive to Brisha, her siblings, and her mother since her infancy. Brisha had run away from home on multiple occasions, only to be subsequently returned when law enforcement officials told her they could not help unless her mother filed a police report. Yes. Yes. I'm sure somebody's mouth just dropped. Yes, that happened. Even when you think about the cases, oh my God, I can't remember her case right now. And it's like it made headlines. And the young girl that was sex trafficked and raped and all of that. And she killed her abuser and the person that sex trafficked her. And she was met with jail time. There's currently a 17-year-old young girl looking at charges for killing the person that had her sex trafficked. So our system is fucked up, you know. Even when the article mentioned the education system, right? And not providing counseling, not looking deeper as to why a young girl of color is quote unquote acting out, you know. So you see this cycle that's happening. And again, we know if Brisha was white, we know the outcome will be different. If she was white, if her name was Becky, right, with blonde hair and blue eyes, she would not be facing involuntary manslaughter right now. She would not be facing these charges. And that is the reality. That is the fucking reality. Wow. Let's take a break right here. And then I'm gonna get into some resources. All right, during this break, I would like to highlight Black women-owned businesses. The one I would like to highlight on this episode is Knots and Blossoms. I love Knots and Blossoms. It is a Black woman-owned business, and she creates DIY items for events, for gifts. So definitely check her out on Instagram, Knots and Blossoms. Her Instagram is KB_KnotsandBlossoms. So definitely check out her Instagram, follow her page. She does beautiful crafting. I've hired her, to create gifts for my family members and friends. She crafts cake toppers, birthday gift bags and decorations. She does like these shadow boxes with flowers. So that's definitely my highlight of a Black woman-owned business. The other one I would like to highlight, she sells waist beads. Now, I love my waist beads. If you are following me on my personal Instagram, which is goddess_Tosh, you will see that I rock waist beads. My waist beads come from Be Adorned Waist Beads. You can follow her on Instagram, Be Adored, BADORED Waist Beads on Instagram. Her waist beads are handmade, straight from Ghana. They are strong, they're beautiful, and yeah, support those two Black-owned businesses. I support them. I love them. They're both beautiful Black women, and they're out here with the grind and the hustle. So definitely hit them up, place your order with them, let them know I sent you. Now, let's get back to the rest of the episode. All right, my dolls, let's wrap up with the rest of the article. Black women, sexual assault, and resources. Okay, here we go. One of the trends to acknowledge when looking at a number of concerns for Black women in addressing sexual abuse is a fundamental lack of resources on institutional, economic, and personal levels. Black women have less access to the resources needed to help them to help combat sexual assault. African American women are 2.5 times more likely to experience physical or sexual violence from a partner or spouse. However, they are just as likely to lack access to mental health and physical services. Organizations that deal with the specific needs of Black women are few and far between. Those that do exist are often underfunded or do not have the capacity to address the vast number of women who need their services. Other issues is the major wealth disparity that exists for Black women. The hashtag MeToo movement has become a watershed moment for women to discuss sexual assault and violence in the workplace. However, the industries where these issues are most rampant are largely dominated by low-paid, low-wage women of color. For example, a workplace harassment study of the fast food industry found that Black and Latino women experience sexual harassment at a higher rate than their white female counterparts. Other industries such as domestic labor, farm workers, and healthcare workers are heavily dominated by women of color and also have high reports of harassment towards female workers. In all, women of color are more likely to be the breadwinners or sole earners in their household. Unfortunately, women of color are also making 63 cents of every dollar earned by white men. Now, what can you do to help? Addressing sexual violence for African American women is a critical part of addressing systems of sexism and racism within our society. Here are a few things you can do to help. Support and help fund organizations that focus on Black women. As expressed earlier, there are a number of organizations that specifically focus on sexual violence and harassment in the Black community. However, many of these organizations are not well known or are underfunded. Here are some organizations you can support. Black Women's Blueprint, Rights for Girls, Sister Love, Inside National, YWCA, A Long Walk Home, Trans Women of Color Collective. I want you guys to understand that trans women of color face both sexual and physical assault at very high alarming rates. And like I mentioned earlier, it is not reported. It is not taken seriously. And our trans Black women out there, they are not supported. They're not supported. Not only are they feeling backlash from the Black community, because I'm not going to front, there are a lot of Black people that will not, like, wrap their arms around our beautiful trans women, right? But they're also feeling it from the white community. So if you are a Black trans woman, listen right now. I love you. I stand with you. I support you. And your life matter, right? Your life matter. Okay. Educate yourself. We can't help unless we understand. One of the most important things any activist can do is educate themselves on issues of sexual violence for Black women, past, present, and future. Okay? Here's where you can begin. Read Color Violence, The Inside Anthology by Insight. Sister Outsider by Audre Lorde. Invisible No More, Police Violence Against Black Women and Women of Color by Audre Ritchie. But Some of Us Are Brave, that's a collection. Unbossed and Unbought by Shirley Chisholm. Woman, Race, and Class by Angela Davis. Okay? Start at the beginning. One of the biggest spaces advocates can help is in the schools. Counseling services for most districts are absent or over capacity. Lobby at school districts in your community or neighborhood communities. Have this conversation with your school officials. You know, these things matter. This need to have a conversation. We need to have these conversations. As someone that worked in the school system, you know, if you are in a community where your neighborhood school, you know, is underfunded, you can, even if it's to volunteer in that school, create mentorship programs for our Black girls. It is needed. We have to try and save our Black girls. We have to let them know that they are loved, that there are people within their community that they can talk to. Starting at the school can put a dent in the cycle, because if there's sexual trauma from an early age, if it is not addressed from then, she will grow into a woman who suffers from severe trauma, and it will be untreated, unrecognized, not talked about. So I have unloaded a lot on all of you on this episode, but I hope you found it informative. I hope you take away that there's work to be done within our community. So what you see out in the streets right now is not just about our King, George Floyd, our Prince, Amma. It's not just about our Queen, Breonna Taylor, who, as of right now, as I record this episode, the officers that murdered her are still not arrested. It's not just about them. I can go on and on and on and on and list the amount of Black men and women who were murdered by the hands of the police. That is just one area. And the names, Michael Brown will never forget. Eric Gardner will never forget. Trayvon Martin will never forget. Sandra Bland will never forget. Tamir Rice will never forget. And we can go far back as Sean Bell. We can go far back as Amadou Diallo. These are the names we know. And I'm sure the list is longer. These are the names we know. Can you imagine the ones we don't know? Right? Now, that is just one side. When you talk about systemically, the amount of Black people who are sent to prison for nonviolent crimes. So, for example, one white officer that was convicted for killing a Black man in his home, she was sentenced to 10 years in prison. We have Black men, Black women who are serving 10 years in prison for nonviolent crimes, for drug crimes. And a white woman that murdered a Black man sentenced for 10 years? You gotta be fucking kidding me. This is our reality. So what you're seeing in the streets right now, people, is not just about the murders. It's not. It's you're seeing years of trauma spilling out on the streets. You're seeing years of being oppressed in this white country. To see that statues of slave owners are finally being ripped down. It took this to happen for us to start seeing changes. And that's just on the street. It's not going to end until we see policy change. To know that the police departments in every damn state, in every damn city, is funded more than our school system, than programs to serve our homeless population. It is funded more than the healthcare system. Teachers have to buy their own supplies most of the time. We don't see police officers buying their own bullets, buying their own guns, buying their own vests, buying their own radios. It is absurd. So when you see the outcry to defund the police department does not mean dismantle it. Shit, I wish we could. But pull some of their funding. In New York City alone, New York City Police Department budget is $5.6 billion. What? So what you're seeing out on the streets is an outcry for change, systemic change. There needs to be policy change. In this day and age, there's still voter oppression going on in states like Georgia. We need to see change, and that's what you're seeing out in the streets. So if you are out there protesting, I stand with you and I thank you. If you are educating yourself, thank you. If you are having uncomfortable conversations with families and friends, thank you. Whatever you are doing, if you are signing petitions, if you're making phone calls, thank you. If you're sharing factual information on social media, thank you. And I say factual because I've seen some bullshit. Whatever you're doing during this movement, thank you. Don't stop. Keep your foot on the gas. Don't stop. But Also keep in mind to be kind to yourself, be kind to others. This is emotionally exhausting. It is emotionally exhausting. I know it is because I feel it too. Being an empath during this time, it is not easy. Oh my God, it is not easy. But I'm in this fight with you because I'm a Black woman. I'm a Black woman who has felt the brunt of this system before and continue to feel it. The system has kept their knees on our necks for centuries. And it's about time y'all take y'all fucking knee off our necks. So, to my beautiful Black kings and queens out there that's listening, keep fighting. We're not gonna fight. To white men, white women, Latinx community, if you're part of my pleasure seekers camp and you are out there on the streets, you're out there educating yourself, you're having that conversation, thank you. Don't stop, because we can't fight this alone. You know, we can't. Reality is we can't do it alone, because the system don't listen to us when we do it alone, because we're all affected. Racism affects all of us. Racism is ugly. We need to love each other. We all bleed the same blood. So, until next week, be kind, be true, be you. Peace out.